Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, who wants to ride that wave of love? There's a love I can feel, rising with the dawn, reaching out to help us heal.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Living Eden on Blog Talk Radio with Sharon Walker, your host, and Daya Jaggers, your co-host.
Daya? Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Daya. And our interviewee, Jodeen Turner. We'll welcome her with us, too. Want to say hi, Jodeen?
Hello. Hello, everybody, and hello, Sharon and Daya.
And we're very excited about having Jodeen with us. And we had a great start, right? Two songs at once. Anyway, so now we're on the wave of love and the Celtic song, Granuaile's Dance from Celtic Women, and their album, The New Journey. That was where that was from. So thank you for that. And let's enjoy our day today together with a nice grounding to start. And take some nice deep breaths, delicious, delicious breathing. And bring ourselves here with our breath, present, to be able to receive. Breathing in, big, deep breath, right into your pineal gland. And then releasing it. And as you release, you feel your energy move back into your body, into your mind, in your throat, your chest, in your arms, back into your belly, your hips and your legs and your feet, and down deep into the ground, deep into the center of the earth. High earth, be present to the earth. Grateful for her. And breathing in again, filling your belly and your lungs and your throat all the way into your heart. And saying, hello, heart. And letting the breath move around in a circle in your heart, from one ventricle to the other. And listen. Listen to your heartbeat, saying, I love you, with each beat. The Great Mother saying, I love you. in the beat of your heart. And you enter deeper into your body and into the earth. And this time you notice earth's heartbeat too. And one more breath. Breathing in deep into your belly and your chest and holding back your shoulders and letting the breath fill you even more. And then breathing out. And this time even deeper into your body. And maybe this time you've gone deep enough to be in spaces you've never been before, to say hi to yourself and honor your organs and your blood and air in your body, in your muscles, in your bones, and all your systems. And enter deeper into the earth while you hear her heartbeat. Notice the darkness. And there's places deep in the earth that are bright too, with crystals. And the water. And the hot volcano energies. And put into this energy system that we just created your intentions for today. The intention to be present in whatever else you have. And our intention to be leading ways to live Eden on the planet, to discover them, to create ones we discover, and to always be open to being led on how to be Eden on the planet and how to honor the planet as Eden. And I invite you to put your shadow in there too. Deep in the heart of yourself and earth and the womb of the Great Mother, to be loved and transformed. And now to also check out, we're going to be connecting with, as you open up to what the show is today, we're going to be connecting with Glastonbury again as our place on the earth. And if you type into Google pictures of Glastonbury, England, you'll come up with a whole page of pictures that you can look at, and so you know pictures of what were the place that a lot of these stories and energies come from, and you can feel them for yourself with your own intention and discover them. And now I turn our show over to Daya.
Thank you, Sharon, for that beautiful grounding. Yes, today we have with us, as is on our weekly announcement, an author, actually a best-selling author named Jodine Turner. And she's also a multi-award-winning author of young adult and adult visionary fantasy. She is also an Adorata practitioner, as a spiritual path or a way of embodying divine love, balancing the inner feminine and the masculine. She is a therapist and a consecrated priestess. So we're going to talk to her this morning about her vision and her visionary fiction book series, in which she's bringing us the magical realism and paranormal romance. And just to say a little bit about her novels before we introduce and start the interview, each of her novels is actually a standalone read, and the first in the series is titled The Awakening, Rebirth of Atlantis. And the second, which was or is an award winner, is The Keys to Remember. And the third of the series is a bestseller. It's Carry on the Flame. And the book one is Destiny's Call. And book two is Ultimate Magic. So let's welcome Jodine Turner. Good morning, Jodine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. And I really feel so aligned for two reasons, basically. The Celtic music that you played, I absolutely love Celtic music, and you'll find that in my novels they're steeped in Celtic tradition, so I felt aligned right away with the music. And secondly, with that meditation, it was so lovely, so grounding, and it helped me to get in touch with that divinity within matter, which is the Divine Mother, the Divine Feminine. So I loved that opening meditation. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you were able to connect so well.
Yes, yes. Well, that's basically...
And Jodine...
I was going to say that's basically what my novels are about, is that connection and my Adorata practice. So it was beautiful to experience that with your words. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So to start with, perhaps we can ask the question for our listeners, what is visionary fiction?
And
personally for you, what is that also?
Okay. Yeah. When I began writing, I didn't realize I was writing visionary fiction. A lot of my novels came about through experiences communing with the goddess, communing with the divine feminine, particularly in Glastonbury, England, and that's the setting for most of my novels as well. So as I was writing them, I was trying to place them in a category, because in the publishing industry, when you interact with publishers, you have to present your novel in a category. And I discovered visionary fiction. And I actually, it's a new category, or they call it a genre, but it's really ancient as well. And it's storytelling. It may have spiritual or metaphysical or supernatural aspects, but most of all, it gives the reader an intimate experience of their own shifts in consciousness through the characters' experiences in the story. So visionary fiction is really a personal quest or an initiation into the deeper mysteries of life through story form. And bottom line, this form of storytelling is about evolution and consciousness, shifts in consciousness. I wrote an article in Writer's Journal about visionary fiction because I really wanted to promote this genre. And I wrote that visionary fiction speaks the language of the soul, and it offers a vision of humanity as we dream it could be. So that's my nutshell definition of visionary fiction.
Mm-hmm, right, and your novels also, or a part of your novels, are actually a goddess mystery school initiation. Can you explain more and give us more on that?
Sure, because visionary fiction embraces spiritual and esoteric wisdom, as I said, it's often from ancient sources, it makes it relevant for our modern-day life. And the books are a mystery school initiation into the sacred feminine because they're embedded with practical teachings that provide a reader the opportunity for their own healing or for collective or global healing. And this healing is accomplished through what I call embodied love. That's the main theme of my novels, is embodied love. And you'll find with visionary fiction that there's a strong theme, but it in no way proselytizes or preaches. So in my novels, embodied love is the theme. And in the healing that I talked about, global and personal, being, yes, through embodied love, it's approached through the body. And this is very similar to what Sharon, you were talking about in your meditation. It's approached through the body and where you go deeper into the infinite within you rather than transcending up and outside of yourselves. So the mystery school initiation, the teachings are embedded in a way that they're not preachy, they're not lectures. It's totally within story form, totally through the characters' experiences. And they show the mystery school initiation because they're about shifts in human consciousness through the goddess of the stars and the sea and the priestesses of her lineage. And this goddess is an ancient goddess who sees to the spiritual evolution of humanity.
And you are,
so really the reader is actually the reader is actually receiving or able to receive a healing if they are open to that just in the reading of the books.
Absolutely, yes, through the character's
and beyond,
experience.
Yeah.
That's one of the hallmarks of visionary fiction. It's through the character's experiences. It becomes the reader's experience. And it's the emphasis is on our limitless human potential, where this kind of transformation and evolution are entirely possible.
Wow. I just finished reading the Carry the Flame, Destiny's Call, and I can attest to or that it's easy, I think, to be healed in different ways. I imagine each person would find some, you know, different ways that they were healed or expanded. Or for me, I just loved that there's ways in the book that I guess you could call rituals, and they're so powerful. And they are so much fun and so grace-filled that was healing in itself to be able to access that type of flowing, healing, beautiful energy. And you were saying, too, that the goddess of the stars and the sea helps humanity through turbulent times, preceding major shifts in consciousness.
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that a little for us?
Sure. She is an aspect of the goddess that attends to humanity to help them during the evolutionary shifts. And in my novels, the turning points for humanity take place during the cataclysmic downfall of Atlantis. That's the first novel. And all the chaos and turbulence that preceded that. And in the second novel, The Keys to Remember, she helps during the time, during the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, where the suppression of the feminine was very, very apparent and the feminine was demonized. We're all aware of the burnings and the witches' trials, etc. And then in the third and the fourth novel, the Carry on the Flame novels, she attends to humanity through one of her priestesses again, through modern day, and all the turbulence and chaos we're facing today. So this is a modern story, the last two novels taking place in modern times.
And in those modern times, in that novel, there's a beautiful, I mean, the most amazing Beltane ritual. Well, my husband and I were married on May 1st, the Feast of Beltane.
Oh, wonderful.
I knew that, but I never knew anything about how the ritual went. I just knew there was a lot of lovemaking.
Yeah.
And to have you do this incredible ritual, I have a ritual of immense power and ecstasy and beauty. It was beyond my wildest imagination that I could have ever come up with for lovemaking that is absolutely incredible. And I was wondering how you came up with all of that.
Yeah, that's part of what visionary fiction is as well, and part of the embodied love theme. I wanted to express the sanctity of the sacred marriage that humans can experience through undergoing these rituals during the holy dates of the wheel of the year, like Beltane or summer solstice, or spring equinox, fall equinox. These are all potent times where the veils are a little bit thinner, and the role of the priestess in Beltane in particular is to help people, initiate them into communing with the goddess on a deeper level, communing with the divine feminine, and creating that sacred union between the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And it's a role and a function of a priestess to do that. So I wanted to express that in the story. And, you know, it's how I came up with it. Part of it was from years of just studying Celtic lore, studying the wheel of the year. But a lot of it is just tapping into my own creativity and my own imagination and taking all those things that I've learned, all the research and the experience of living in Glastonbury, which is where the novel takes place and is a very magical land, and just delving down into my body, into my creativity, calling on my muses, and it's a flow that emerges that the writing just comes from that. So I took all the things I wanted to express and then let creativity express them for me and let the story express them for me, because it's so much more meaningful than doing a lecture about Beltane and sacred union. To have the experience through creativity and to come up with the rituals, it was healing and it was joyful for me as well just doing that. And I'm glad that it came across.
Yes, it was very healing for me just reading it. I just reread it again today because I wanted to make sure I remembered how it felt and how beautiful it was while we were talking. Mm. And,
I'm so glad.
Yeah, and I decided when I redid it that on our anniversary, it's our 50th anniversary coming up.
Mm.
I'm going to see how we can put that into the day.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear how that turns out. Let me know. That's wonderful.
Thank you. And how do you see all of your books as supporting Living Eden on the planet?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, the theme is about embodied love. And so if people can have that true visionary fiction experience of having that initiation and that healing, then, you know, and embodying love, then I think that, you know, it's one more person that can contribute to Living Eden. And when I say embodied love, maybe I should just identify that and clarify that a little bit more too. It's embodied love is the alchemy of sacred union within your body and your heart. And it's very practical. It's very down to earth. It's your capacity to give love and be loved in all of love's forms, and it comes through harmonizing your inner female and your inner male. And so those are the kinds of stories and the kinds of content that's in the novels, is stories that showcase that. And this, when I say your inner male and your inner female within, they're, just to clarify that, there are two aspects of everyone's psyche exists in all men and women, regardless of sexual preferences. And a disharmonious relationship or a conflictual relationship between your inner male and your inner female can cause you to experience life as an exhausting struggle. It might attract undermining situations. It might underlie unhappy relationships or work situations. So through the character's experiences, as in the book you read, the character Sheree with her deceitful and conniving Aunt Phoebe, who practices black magic against her and commits her to a psychiatric unit and accuses her of killing her uncle. These are a lot of forces that Sheree had to work through. She had to delve down into her deepest, darkest parts of herself that wanted to have divine retribution against Phoebe and use black magic against her. And she had to work through her own hatred and her own inclinations toward dark magic and work through that and come to a point of embodied love so that she could work through that situation in a way that resolved it a little bit more lovingly than it could have gone. So these kinds of situations in the novels, hopefully the reader can get an experience of also facing their own deepest, darkest places and transforming them through the power of divine love.
That's awesome.
Mm.
Mm, thank you. And that is, I'm gonna turn this over to Daya again.
Well, you know, the more we delve in here to this goddess, it is, I'm getting just this overwhelming thought that a few weeks ago, yeah, we did two shows actually on the Black Madonna.
Mm.
And would you say, Jodine, that this goddess is the perhaps I could say the is carrying the archetype of the Black Madonna?
Yes, I would definitely say that, and that's a good way of phrasing it, carrying the archetype of the Black Madonna. And you know, maybe I should say a little bit about how I came to the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea and how I came to the Black Madonna.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I think there's three levels of deepening I've had, or three phases that brought me to the Black Madonna in particular. But first, let me say, with the Goddess of the Stars and the Sea, that was very much an organic opening to the goddess energy in Glastonbury. Just sitting by the chalice well and having experience after experience that just sort of blew me out of the water. She evolved, and knowing her came out of that. And with the Black Madonna, that was a parallel path. Probably in the early 90s, I came to know the Black Madonna as what was called the Dark Goddess. And the Dark Goddess is the goddess of transformation. She cuts through illusions. She brings destruction for regeneration, and she brings death and rebirth, both physical death as well as the small deaths that we all experience in our lives. And she's the power within the land. She's the divinity in matter. And I came to know her while I was engaged in the study of the Western mystery tradition, and specifically ancient Celtic spirituality. And that's where I became a consecrated priestess. And when I first encountered her in meditations and inner journeying, I remember crying because I felt as if I had returned home. And this dark goddess, she's called by many names in different cultures. The Irish call her the Morrigan. The Welsh call her Ceridwen. Scottish call her the Kaliak, and in Eastern religions, she's known as Durga or Kali. So you get the flavor of that, the dark goddess with those names and their cultural impact. And then I came to know the dark goddess as the Black Madonna through reading Margaret Starbird's book, The Woman with the Alabaster Jar.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret talks about Mary Magdalene as the symbolic and actual bride and the wife of Yeshua. And according to Margaret, many of the Black Madonna statues we find in churches all across the world, especially Europe, are a possible secret representation of Mary Magdalene. And they were created to protect Magdalene's safety and the safety of her children with Yeshua. And she had to go underground. She had to go secret. The divine feminine had to go underground in secret. And one way she was kept alive was through these miraculous Black Madonna statues, because the essence of her was considered heretical and dangerous. That was the power of sacred union with the divine masculine, Magdalene and Yeshua, and the existence of a divine feminine who loves humanity intimately. That's the Black Madonna. And then the third way I came to commune with her was through a spiritual path and body of knowledge that you've mentioned called Adorata. And this was developed by a modern-day mystic. She's Italian-born. She's an artist, humanitarian, and author, and her name is Tiziana della Rovere. And she is also the librettist or the storyteller behind the new avant-garde opera entitled The Canticle of the Black Madonna, which tells the story of combat PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder and the healing embrace and power of the Black Madonna to heal these horrific traumas and wounds of these combat veterans. So that's how I came to know her. And then combined with my experiences in Glastonbury, it just evolved. She becomes richer and richer and deeper as the years go by. And I remember when I was first writing the first novel, I had commissioned someone to paint a picture for me of the goddess. And I just said, make sure there's a moon in there. And that's all I told her. She came up, this painter came up with this beautiful, beautiful 6-foot-high painting. It was almost, iconographic. And it had stars around Madonna's head, around the divine feminine's head. It had the moon. It had the X, which is the symbol for Mary Magdalene. It had the four angels around it. And as I just meditated on the picture, on this painting, this magnificent painting, that's how the goddess of the stars and the sea with that name came through. It came through in meditation, through that painting.
Oh.
Wow.
How exciting.
That's an amazing journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very amazing.
And she so mirrors the time of the shift of the ages that you were speaking about earlier with the Dark Ages and those times, and now where we're having a different outer way of the intensity of how we're not quite in unison with one another or the planet yet, but we've definitely come a considerable distance from where we were at those times. But she is so much a part of helping currently, and it's so interesting because she is coming through everywhere, and obviously including through you and your vision and your visionary books. And you are a consecrated priestess. So can you speak a little bit about what is a priestess and what the title consecrated priestess is for us?
Sure. And let me just make one comment on something you said about the turbulence and the the state of the world today. In the first book, The Awakening, Rebirth of Atlantis, you know, it's all about those final days of Atlantis, where everything was marked by deceit and lust and greed. It was a very vibrant culture, and it was blessed with advanced knowledge from bestowed on it from a race of star beings, but it suffered with a corrupt governing body and a degenerate priesthood. Now, does that sound like nowadays or what? It's the same.
Yeah, familiar?
Yeah.
History repeats itself.
It does. It does. Yeah, and so as a priestess, there's a priestess involved, a priestess of the goddess of the stars and the sea involved in all the novels. And basically a priestess is a mediator between the worlds of the seen and the unseen, an unconditional mediator between heaven and earth, very service-oriented, devotion-oriented. And a priestess mediates the divine consciously with skill and with knowledge, and works through things like ceremony and ritual, art, dance, healing, teaching, writing. So she is that bridge between the seen and the unseen. Yeah.
And how does one, what's the journey of someone today who who becomes how does a priestess or consecrated priestess would be one who has gone through a training and all of that and come to a point of having that title? But in what my question is in today's our technology and our lifestyle, how does one initiate or really bring the priestess into this modern world? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's a great question, because many women and men alike, priestesses, want to know how do we do it in today's world. I mean, there's so many paths that one can become of training, that one can become a priestess with. I mean, you just have to look on the internet and it's flowing with that. I would say a personal in-person training is probably the best rather than going online. But, you know, there's still so many online opportunities that are very potent. What I can speak to was how I became a priestess. And the consecrated priestess part came through studying the Western mystery tradition through a teacher, a spiritual teacher called R.J. Stewart, who's Scottish and Welsh and teaches throughout the United States. I know that there's so many that are similar to his style of teaching and the Western mystery tradition. The other priestess role that I took on came through Adorata. And it actually came through my writing visionary fiction. And I came to the Adorata priestess path sort of in a roundabout way, as I said, through my writing. My background was in nursing. I hold a doctorate degree in counseling. But I changed my career, and for the past 15 years, I wrote visionary fiction. And I prayed that, as I mentioned, that the theme in all my novels was embodied love. And I prayed that one day I would find a body of teachings, a spiritual path that could teach people in practical ways exactly how to embody love and how to be a modern-day priest or priestess. So I came to the Adorata path of priestesshood because of that prayer. I found that practical spiritual path that my stories could align with, something I could teach others. And Adorata, as I mentioned, was developed by Tiziana Della Rovere, and I did an intense five-year training with Tiziana. The group of people and Tiziana was the spiritual teacher. And that's how one aspect of my priestesshood comes into manifestation, through that. The other is, as I mentioned, you know, you can be a priestess in modern days by doing things like healing work, teaching, writing. So these avenues are open with a specific intent of bringing through the divine in everything that you do. You're being a priestess.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jodine, you've been talking about your Adorata training and how much that you love that. And you shared with us that you would like to do an Adorata meditation for our listeners. Would you feel like that this is a good time to do that?
Sure. Absolutely. And I can lead it into it. Let me say just a couple minutes more about what Adorata is, so when you're experiencing this meditation, you'll have a conscious awareness of what's going on. And Adorata, as I mentioned, it's a body of teachings. It's a spiritual path. It unites a divine feminine-based spirituality with a new archetype of divine masculine spirituality to create that embodied love, which is that alchemy of sacred union within your body and heart. And it is a sacred feminine path because it leads you to a direct connection to your divinity within yourself, which by its very definition is the divine mother, is the divine feminine. And yet it goes further because it embraces and includes sacred union with the divine masculine or divine father. So Adorata is all about creating a really lived, tangible sacred union of divine feminine and divine masculine in our hearts and in our bodies and in our lives, which then creates that embodied love. And Adorata means beloved or adored. And the whole goal of the Adorata path is an increased ability to receive and sustain and give love in all of its forms. So the Adorata meditation is a mainstay of the Adorata system. It's a foundational practice to Adorata. There's a couple of other things that Adorata includes, but this is a foundational practice. And as I lead you through the meditation, what will be happening is Divine Mother's love is brought up from the center of the earth and also from the deepest places within your cells. And this helps you to ground in her love. It prepares your body and heart for the descent of the divine masculine, where the two can alchemically unite in your heart. And as the fruit of this tangible experience of sacred union, the divine spark within you gets ignited. The meditation is very nourishing and empowering, and it harmonizes the polarities of your inner male and female within the sanctum of your heart and your physical body, which again expands your ability to receive and give love. And you'll find that the meditation is very grounding and nourishing and empowering, as I mentioned. And it's a meditation you can do every day if you'd like to do. The first part of the meditation, you'll be grounding each of your seven chakras. And you'll be grounding them into the core of the earth in order to receive into your body the love and the life force of the divine feminine. And then the second part of the meditation opens you to the divine masculine, where you'll receive his luminosity into your body from above. And the meditation incorporates the six-pointed star, which is a very potent symbol, and it grounds it in your body. And the six-pointed star is that symbol of sacred union, what the ancients called hieros gamos, sacred union of the divine feminine and divine masculine. And then the culmination of the meditation is experiencing the union of the love of the divine feminine and the luminosity of the divine masculine in your heart and letting the golden radiance of that union infuse your being. So that's an intro of what you're going to be experiencing through the meditation.
Wow. I can't wait.
Good. Yeah. You know, before I lead it, I just have to tell you, Sharon, that one part of the Adorata system is there's 16 what are called Adorata virtues, and they're paintings that embody and transmit the qualities, archetypal qualities of the divine feminine. and they have sacred texts that accompany them, the paintings. And I was looking through them this morning, and the one virtue called courage just kind of spoke to me, and I looked at the painting, and then I turned it around. It's, they're prints from the painting, the original painting, and on the back are some words from the sacred text. And this word, this sentence popped out of me. The Garden of Eden, the place of innocence where courage flows naturally from a state of innate trust and faith, is not outside of you, but resides within your heart. And I thought of you, the Garden of Eden. This one just happened to pop out at me today. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's priceless.
Yeah. Yeah. I love synchronicities.
Yes, me too.
So shall we do the meditation now then?
Yes, go.
Okay.
Please do.
All right, so just settle comfortably wherever you're seated and close your eyes.
Noisy up here, no?
And allow your breathing to begin to bring you deeper into your body. And to help you go even deeper, put your hands over your chest, over your heart chakra, and be your heart chakra, feeling your hands from the inside out, feeling the pressure, touch of your hands, the temperature of your hands. So beginning to feel from the inside out, move your hands down to your solar plexus. And again, be your solar plexus, that place right under your rib cage. Be your solar plexus, feeling your hands, feeling from the inside out, feeling the pressure and temperature. And then move your hands down to your belly, place of power and wisdom. And be your belly, feeling your hands, feeling from the inside out. And now just relax your hands and move your awareness and go into your first chakra at the base of your spine. Just be in your first chakra and open it up simply with your intention and saying to yourself, I now open my first chakra. Feel what that feels like, maybe very subtle. Trust that it'll open without forcing, just with your intention. And staying in your first chakra, form a cone of energy from your first chakra that goes into the earth deeper and deeper. This cone grows wider as it goes deeper into the earth. And the cone reaches the center of the earth and connects with the center of the earth, strong, wide base. And it's received into the heart of Divine Mother there. Feel that connection. And ask Divine Mother, from the center of the earth, to come up this cone, bringing her loving energy, come into your first chakra. She brings you her grounded stability right into your first chakra. And now move your awareness and go into your second chakra in your belly. And again, open up your chakra, opening up your second chakra simply with your intention and saying to yourself, I now open my second chakra. And staying in your second chakra, form another cone of energy that goes from your second chakra down deep into the earth. Cone grows wider as it goes deeper and deeper until it finally connects with the center of the earth, with the heart of Divine Mother there. Connects with a strong, wide base and is received into the heart of Divine Mother. Feel that connection. And ask Divine Mother to bring her loving energy up this cone right into your second chakra. She also brings you her vitality, creativity, strength right into your second chakra. And now, move your awareness and go into your third chakra, your solar plexus, right under your rib cage. And as you move into your solar plexus, open it up again, simply with your intention, saying to yourself, I now open my third chakra, my solar plexus. And staying in your solar plexus, form another cone of energy from your solar plexus that goes down deep into the earth, growing wider as it goes deeper and deeper until it connects with a strong base with the center of the earth, being received into the heart of Divine Mother there. Feel that connection. And ask Divine Mother to bring her loving energy up this cone right into your third chakra. And she also brings you her power that's filled with love, which becomes your power infused with love. And now move your awareness and go into your heart chakra in the center of your chest. And open it up with your intention and saying silently to yourself, I now open my heart chakra. Create a cone of energy that goes from your heart chakra down deep into the earth, deeper and deeper. The cone of energy grows wider as it goes deeper. And the cone of energy connects with the center of the earth with a strong base, being received into the heart of Divine Mother, forming a heart-to-heart connection. Divine Mother, to bring her love up this cone of energy and right into your heart chakra. And you can ask her to help you to receive her love in an ever-expanding capacity. To receive and sustain and radiate an ever-expanding capacity of love. And let her nourishing love fill you, fill your heart chakra. And then move your awareness and go into your throat chakra. And open it up with your intention, saying silently to yourself, I now open my throat chakra. And relax your throat chakra. And to help you stay grounded in your body, you can also tip your chin down towards your chest. So you're in your throat chakra. It's relaxed and open. And now create another cone of energy. As you stay in your throat chakra, this cone goes down deep into the earth, growing wider as it goes deeper and deeper until it connects with the center of the earth with a strong base and is received into the heart of Divine Mother there. Feel that connection. And ask Divine Mother to come up this cone of energy right into your throat chakra. She brings her love. She brings your ability to express and speak your truth with love and compassion. And now move your awareness and go into your sixth chakra in the center of your forehead. And open it up with your intention, saying silently to yourself, I now open my sixth chakra. Form a cone of energy. As you stay in your sixth chakra, the cone goes down deep into the earth, growing wider as it goes deeper and deeper. And it finally grounds and connects in the center of the earth and is received into the heart of Divine Mother there. Feel that connection. And ask Divine Mother to come up from the center of the earth, bringing her love, coming up into your sixth chakra. She also brings you her peace of mind and her peace of nature, right into your sixth chakra. And now, move your awareness and go into your crown chakra at the top of your head and open it very gently, like a lotus flower blossoming. Opening it with your intention and creating another cone of energy. And this time, the cone of energy is larger than all of the others, and it includes your body. And this cone goes down deep into the earth, deeper and deeper, wider and wider, and it finally connects with the heart of Divine Mother at the center of the earth. Divine Mother, to come up this cone of energy and into your crown chakra. And she brings with her her loving presence right into your crown chakra and into your body. Feel that. And staying grounded in your body, in your belly, and in your heart. Create an upside-down cone of energy now from your crown chakra all the way up to the highest heavenly realms of Divine Father. Looks almost like outstretched arms. And Divine Mother travels out your crown chakra and through this cone of energy, this upside-down cone of energy. She reaches the highest heavenly realms of Divine Father and connects with his heart. Divine Father now, to come down this cone of energy, to descend down into your body and chakras that have been readied and prepared for him. Divine Father comes down this cone of energy, bringing his gifts of his peace, his love, his protection. And he comes into your crown chakra. And he flows down into your sixth chakra, into your throat chakra. He travels down into your heart chakra, down into your solar plexus, down into your second chakra, down into your first chakra, and he continues down into the center of the earth to connect with the heart of Divine Mother there. So be aware of the upward flow of Divine Mother's love from the center of the earth through your body and up to the highest heavenly realms of the Divine Father, a continuous upward stream and flow of love, while at the same time be aware of Divine Father's love and protection streaming from the highest heavenly realms down through your body and down into the center of the earth. And ask Divine Mother and Divine Father to join in your heart and in the heart of every single one of your cells. Ask them to join in their sacred union where they spiral together, creating sacred union and the fruit of their union is the golden radiant sun of divine love that pulsates the infinite source of love from within you. And this golden love fills you and radiates out all around you, 360 degrees all around you. So with each in-breath, deeply receive this golden love. And with each out-breath, it fills you and radiates all around you. Breathing in and receiving. Breathing out, giving out. Receiving and giving. In breath and out breath. Be aware of how your body feels now. And very slowly and gently, be aware of the room you're sitting in your outer surroundings, coming back very slowly, very gently, bringing yourself from the depths of your body to your outer awareness. And when you're ready, when you feel like you're back, you can open your eyes.
Thank you, Jodine.
You're welcome.
Excuse me. That was very rich and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you so much, Jodine. That was incredible. It was very special. I lost my computer page and everything in the time frame. I will be forever changed. And I want, seriously, to thank you so much for letting us in personally to your journey and all of what you have become. I think it's so special for the people listening to the show to have a modern understanding of, you know, for instance, the meanings of a priestess and all of what your books are bringing in the sense of how we're living today and how they can find their way. And it's just wonderful that you are making this your life, and we so appreciate you taking the time to to be on the show today and offer this incredible transformative meditation. And you also have something else for the listeners, is that right?
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's been wonderful. And as a gift to the listeners, I'm offering the womb meditation. If you go to my website, jodineturner.com, J-O-D-I-N-E, turner.com, and click free meditation on the left bar. This is a meditation that was inspired by the goddess of the stars and the sea. It's a very embodied way to connect and commune with her, and it brings your awareness deep into the sacred temple of your womb. And for those women who no longer have wombs, it's your womb space. You always have your womb space. And so it connects your womb space with the altar of your heart and with the life force of your breath and with the earth's center and with the magical energy of the moon. Anytime during the moon phase, particularly during the full moon. And there's also therapeutic tones in the background music that resonate specifically with the womb, and they were created by the fabulous sound healer, Ani Williams. So, again, just go to jodineturner.com and click free meditation on the left bar, and you can have the womb meditation to experience.
Oh, thank you so much. What a beautiful free gift. So that's really two free gifts, because they can listen to this Adorate meditation over and over, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just so grateful to you to provide our listeners, ourselves, and the world with your gifts, Jodine. They're very, very, very beautiful and appreciated. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And do let me know how your anniversary celebration goes, Sharon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This was an awesome show, everyone. And please let us know if you have any questions or anything to share. And you can do that at the bottom of the webpage for the radio show. And we will see you next week, and we'll have to have Jodine back another time.
Would love to.
Oh, great. Okay. Everyone have a great week, and thank you very much for being with us. Bye-bye now.
Till next week. Aloha.